Okay, go with me back to John 15. John 15, I want to deal with the text, and then I want to show you something, all right? So may the Lord cause us to enter into this. We've said before that John chapter 13, that's where our Lord took a towel and girded himself and washed the disciples' feet. From John 13 to the middle of John 18, all happened in one night, the night in which he was betrayed. It was just a few hours or an hour, however long it was, one night. And our Lord, so lovingly, he took that special time, that one night, and he clearly taught his disciples some very comforting things. They had been with him 3.5 years. He's about to go accomplish his mission, and he took a moment to just let them in on some things. And he recorded what he said so that every single disciple can enter into this same comfort, this exact comfort he gave them. As we read down through this, listen to it. Listen to this as though he has pulled you aside and he's telling you this personally. All right, now look at verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If the world hates you, what he's saying is, consider it a good sign. Consider it a good sign. Now, not if the gospel's not involved. You know, not if the glory of God and the truth is not at stake. Don't consider that a good sign. God's people are not hated because of the way they live in this world. They're just not. They're not hated because that, you know, they're liars and they're cheats and they're hard to get along with, rude. God's people are supposed to be the salt of the earth. That's what he said. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the savory part. The preserving. The only reason the world is being preserved is because you're in it. That's it. God's people ought to be the most honest and kind and friendly citizens in the community. They ought to stand out as being a good neighbor. And they're not hated for the way they live in this world. They're hated for the truth's sake. Now turn with me over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 verse 3 says that God's people are poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Verse 5 says they're meek. Verse 7 says they're merciful. Verse 9 says they're peacemakers. Verse 10 says they're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Verse 11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For my sake. This world hates the true and living God. And this world will not bow the knee to the true and living God. And any sinner who does, this world hates that sinner because of Christ, because of his name's sake. Go with me back over to John 15. Verse 18 says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Is it not absolutely clear that God did not die for every sinner in the world? Isn't that so clear? Verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Verse 20 says, remember the word that I said unto you. This is John 13. He told them this back in John 13, which would have been an hour ago or 20 minutes ago or something like that. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, that means scrutinized, singled out, my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. He is clearly explaining these things to him, to all of them, all of his disciples. He's saying, expect these things to come. Expect them to come. These persecutions. Expect the religious world to treat you this way. And it's not fun. Not at all. But it's going to happen. And the reason that this is going to happen, the reason they'll do this is because they don't know my Father and they don't know me. Look at chapter 16, verse 3. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. That's why. They don't know my Father. They don't know me. So right here in chapter 15, our text, verse 22 says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. If I had not come, if Christ had not come, if he had not come into this world, the gospel could have never been preached. The Old Testament hung on the fact that Christ was coming. You know that? Without Christ coming, the Old Testament, there's no foundation to it. And this New Testament of grace, free grace, there's no foundation to it had Christ not come. Had God not been manifest in the flesh. And so he's saying, if I hadn't come into this world, the gospel could have never been preached. And man would not have been able to reject me personally, the true God, and hate me. But I did come. I did. And now they have no excuse. Verse 23 says, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. The reason is because they are one. And that gives us some insight into what he's telling us. If they hate you, you remember they hated me first. It's the same reason that his people are going to be hated. It's because the Lord's people are one with him. I know we don't feel it right now. Sometimes we don't feel saved. Sometimes we don't feel like we belong to Christ. Sometimes we don't feel like we're in Christ. But we are. We are. God's people are vitally united with him. If we're living, it's just like this child. I have no idea if that child feels like it's vitally united to Tracy or not. But it is. It's alive. Because she's alive, that child is alive. And we are one with our Lord. Verse 24 says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. It was written in their law. I love that. Men are under the law. This world is under the law. Not us. Written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Ask men and women if they hate Jesus Christ. Ask them if they hate Jesus Christ and hate God the Father. Everybody knows their answer. No. They know it's not. They know they don't, or they think they don't. And the reason they're going to say that is because they don't know Jesus Christ or the Father. They don't know Him. That's the only reason they feel like they don't hate Him. If you start telling them the truth, if you start telling them who Jesus Christ really is and God the Father, that God the Father has exalted God the Son high above all things, high almighty King of heaven, and even though every man and woman deserves an eternity in hell, God chose to have mercy on some. You start telling people the truth about this, and they will say, I hate that. I hate that. Or they won't like it. People who are so sweet, so kind, so gentle, so meek, so religious, you tell them that, and they turn, and they hate it. Absolutely hate it. And we acknowledge the fact that Christ did redeem who He chose to redeem, didn't He? He saved whoever He chose to save. He died for the chosen ones. And God's Holy Spirit, He doesn't call the whole world. He calls the chosen and the redeemed ones. And every bit of that is God's right because He's God. We were after the service this morning, I was thinking about the fact that we were talking about election. What if God didn't choose me? I went home thinking about that. What if God didn't choose me? Oh, I don't want that to be so. I don't want that to be so. But here's the fact that God puts in every believer's heart. We know He is God, and it is His right because He's God. And we know we don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. I know I do not deserve it. I do not blame Him. David said in Psalm 51, you're clear when you judge. I acknowledge my sin, my transgressions ever before me. And whatever you decide to do, you're right in doing it. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Yes, even if He were to put me in hell, He would be right. And the reason is because He's God. That's His right. He's God Almighty. But you go around telling men and women that, and they will hate that God, and they will hate you for believing that. They'll think you're crazy. And but that's how it's going to be. That's how it will be. But here's what He said in verse 26. He said, when the Comforter is come to you, He said, now I'm leaving. This is how it's going to be. But I'm going to send a Comforter to you. And when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. The Spirit of absolute truth is coming. We read this word and we believe absolute truth. And He's going to testify of me. Verse 27, you also shall bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. They were with Him from the moment He began His ministry. And He gave that faith to them to go preach that gospel. And He's continued to give faith to His people. And now I'm doing the same thing they did. And we all profess this word, believe this word. These persecutions must come. But I'm going to send my Comforter to you. That's the Holy Spirit. And He's going to bring you to my word. That's what He's going to do. All of these persecutions and all of these doubts and these fears and these hardships and everything that sin produces in us. Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us? He brings us to His word. That's what He does. And this word testifies of Him through the Spirit. And we believe it and we're comforted by it. He's going to testify of me and point you to me, and He's going to comfort your heart through my word. All right, let's see if the Lord will comfort us tonight. This is a short message. I love short messages. So something in all of that blessed my heart. It just blessed my heart. All right, now I hope the Lord will comfort us and make us ready and make us excited. And This is what I want to show you. Look at verse 19. Our Lord said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, you're not of the world. I thought I was a sinner. You are. But you're not of the world. You are not of the world. If God the Father chose you, if Christ redeemed you, if His Spirit has called you, given your heart to bow the knee to our Lord, the King, and believe this word right here, you are not of the world. You are not of this world. You do not come from, and you do not belong to, you are not of the world. Well, then what are we of? Go over to John chapter 1. John 1 verse 10 says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him. Now that doesn't say accepted, received. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Of God. God's people are not of this world. They are of God. They were born in God. They come from God. They belong to God. They're of God. They are of God. Go over to John 17. John 17, verse 9, our Lord said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. Verse 11 says, And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Look at verse 14. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ. We know He's not of the world, don't we? He's not of the world. All right, now watch this. Verse 15. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 18 says, As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. In Christ, we're of God. In Christ, we were born of God. In Christ, we've always been of God. Everything in Christ was from the foundation of the world. In Christ, we are of God. Now, our Lord left this world. He went over to Bethany, to the Mount of Olives, and He left this world. Verse 11, He said, Now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. We're here right now in the world. All right, now, He left the world. Where did He go? Verse 11, He said, I come to Thee. Where's that? There's a reality here. This is what was getting me. There's a reality here. I mean, He went somewhere. Don't we believe He's a man? Don't we believe we're going to see a man? Don't we believe God became a man? Don't we believe that He ascended up on high and they watched Him go up? Don't we believe that He was on this earth and now He is not on this earth? He left this world. Where did He go? There's a reality here. A real man, the God-man, went to a real place. A more real place than this. A place that He is of. Our loved ones have gone to a real place. I know that we believe it, and I also know we don't understand it, and I also know we can't get our minds around it. But I'm telling you, they're in a real place. They are in a very, very real place. Our Lord said, "He that liveth and believeth in Me now," do we believe the last three words, or is it three? Yeah. Do we believe these words or not? "He that liveth and believeth in Me," I know it says, "shall never die," but we see Him die. They go in the casket, so this is what He said. "Shall never die." To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. "He that liveth and believeth in Me," He's going to live forever. He is going to live forever. Now, the Lord does not lie. He cannot lie. He is going to live forever. But He's not going to live in this world. And the reason is because He's not of this world. He's not staying here. "Believest thou this?" Do you believe that? Do you believe the reality of this? Go with me over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, look at verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith." In faith. "Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them." They were persuaded of them. "And embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Here's the reality. We don't belong here. We're not of this world. We are strangers and pilgrims passing through. We don't make a life here. Well, we're just going to, hunker down and we're going to park it right here. Nope, we're passing through. Strangers and pilgrims. Verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Now, I'm so thankful that I was born in this country. I realize it has problems. But I'm very thankful that I was born in this country. It's been a good country to grow up in. But God has said there is a better country. There's a better country. One where Christ dwells. That's where He went. One where the only population is those who love Christ. Those who He redeemed. The only ones there. They're the only ones there. The ones that love the truth and know the truth. Those who are of God. One where there is no hate because there is no sin. It's a real place. No hate for Christ, no hate for His people, because only Christ and His people are there. That's the only ones there. Verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. He has prepared a city. He has prepared a city. The beautiful city of God. He's prepared a city. A place for us who are not of this world. Strangers and pilgrims in this world. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 12 says. Hebrews 13, 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. All right, now let me close with this. Would you like to see a small glimpse of the city? I love this. I love this place. How spiritual is it? I don't know. How real is it? I don't know. But I can tell you this. In the Old Testament, when He said the king is going to come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, the king came riding in on a donkey. And when it said that not his garment would not be torn, his garment was not torn. And when it said in Zechariah that He's going to stand on the Mount of Olivet near Jerusalem and ascend back to glory, He stood on the Mount of Olivet and ascended back to glory. So, I don't know, but let's enjoy it. Go over to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Does that sound good? "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." Does that sound good? "And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Verse 10 says, "And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." And then he goes on down to say that it had walls, and it had gates, and it had foundations. Verse 22 says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Where are we going to go to worship? We're in Him at all times. We're going to be worshiping God at all. We're going to be in the temple at all times. He said, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved," now that's going to be us by God's grace, shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth, you know what Revelation says? We have been made, we sinners, kings and priests. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. What is our glory? Christ is our glory. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They're never going to shut the gates. Free. Everybody's going to know, and it's going to be declared. You're free. You are free. You are free. You're free. Bondage is over. All that bondage is over. You ever going to lock? If I go out of that gate, am I not going to be able to make it back in? No, the gate's never shut. What time do I have to be back? There is no time. It's always today. There's no night there. Will Christ be with me? You're in Him. You cannot be out of Him. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall, this is the best part, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of it, the river was there. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. And His name shall be in their foreheads. Everybody you're going to bump into be, hey, how's it going? What do you want to talk about? Christ. Let's do it. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Thank God we're of God. Aren't you so glad? This poor, miserable world, this sin, everybody's trying to just scoop. Let's scoop up. How much sin can we scoop up by the end of this life? I've got 70. How much sin can I rake in? Forget all that. Lose this life, gain eternity. There's nothing to lose. Thank God we are of God. It is so wonderful to me to hear Him say, you are not of this world. I'm going to the place you're of. And I'm going to prepare a place for you in the city reserved for you. Not only did I put a down payment on it, I bought it. I bought your spot, paid in full, free and clear. And we'll see you there. All right, let's stand together.